Good morning. Or should I say, buenos dias, familia. As we're going to turn this service into a Spanish service, huh? I trust that you had a blessed Christmas with sharing with loved ones. And if you did not, I would continually pray that you would at least experience the love of Christ in your life and appreciate not just the story of Christmas, but the reality and the impact it has in the lives of humankind. So this morning, we're going to pray, and the title of this message is called The Light for All. And we're going to invite you to open up your Bible and keep it there. Luke chapter 2, we're going to focus from verses 22 through 35. Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge you this morning. We come before you here together as a family, la familia, and we opened our minds, our hearts to receive from your word. May your word teach us. May it enlighten us. May it strengthen us. May it empower us. May it transform us, Lord, and discern its truths, that our lives would be forevermore different. We pray this, and we bless you for it, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. So a few things here. We are in this mini-series called Come and See. And I have the distinct privilege of closing this series again. And so I want to go ahead and do justice to the time. And so here we are now. Jesus has been born. And we see that his parents have approached the temple. And they come and, according to what was prescribed in the law, come and present offerings for purification and presenting of this child, Jesus, to the temple. And in there, they encounter a gentleman by the name of Simeon. And as we pick up in verse 25, it reads this way. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, the author, or Luke, does not give us any other descriptions other than he was a man that lived in Jerusalem. And a couple of things he tells us about Simeon. He says, this man was just a regular man. A couple of distinctions here. He was a man who was what? Who was righteous and devout. Then he adds a third thing. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Then we read and continue. And then in verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him, this righteous and devout man, who was patiently waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then he says that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit. So not only was he, the Spirit fell on him or filled him or influenced by the Spirit, but the Spirit revealed to him, and the Spirit led him to the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to him to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and this, if you love all the jargon of the Greek and the Latin, this is known as the Nunc Dimittis in Latin, for Simeon's song of praise. And it reads this way, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. This is very important and very radical especially for an audience that of Jewish audience or Israel as a nation, for they saw themselves as privileged as being as the people, chosen people of God, which they were. And they are. But now this door is opened wide for all peoples. White, black, Latinos are in there too. I threw them in there. But for all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. These are very important words here. And time will not allow us to unpack all this. But I hope that in your personal studies, you would dig deeper into the scriptures. It says a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is very important here, and I'm going to pause here because this is so rich. Pastor Matthew started talking about Jeremiah in the first message, talked about the disparity, the darkness, the doom and gloom of society, the hurt, the pain, the depression. Put whatever name you want. Whatever pain you may be experiencing, whatever trials or disappointments that you have experienced, you can put all that in this big package of situation, crisis, very similar to what we're experiencing in today's world. Political uncertainty around the world. Economic uncertainty. Boy, you follow the stock market. You've invested. You're an investor. Boy, you're really struggling today. Crisis at the border. Crisis with authority. There's all kinds of stuff that we could add to this. But yet, in the midst of all of this, what would you call this? Chaos, uncertainty, a movement, society. Well, we call it darkness. Because while there may be prosperity, what usually happens is a darkness, a spiritual darkness upon the people. And that's what was going on here. And so we find that in this darkness, this light that God had promised his people would come breaking through and shine. That's why we could read like the Gospels, what would you call this? The Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 5, Jesus talks right there down in verses 15 and on, 16. He tells the people, you are the light of the world. Why? Isaiah chapter 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. What is this light? John chapter 1, you know, that he starts telling us in verse 4 that he was the light of life. This light came to the world. He created it. It's a life-giving light. And all of this is there for us to consider. But here's a few things I want to unpack here and just kind of leave for thought, because this is a narrative. It's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. So it's kind of hard to tell you, this is what you have to do. Here's the takeaways that we can from this portion of scripture. Rather, I want to give you at least a few observations I've made personally that I found interesting in this story here that we're being told. First of all, we're told not about Simeon's age or his background or his vocation or his demographic for that matter. That wasn't important to Luke, to the author here. What was important is to note his condition. Let's go back down to verse 25 and 26. What condition did this man have? Well, we read and we find out that he was a righteous man. Righteous means that he was he acknowledged the principles of scriptures, the principles, God's principles in his life. He sought to separate himself for the exclusive use of God. In other words, to simplify it in our 21st century language, he had a biblical worldview. Okay? He wasn't a Republican or Democrat. He had a biblical worldview. And he allowed the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, to form and shape his view and outlook of life. We could learn a lot from that today. Because the reality is our society functions more on feeling. I'm a feeler, not a reader. That's what they say. I'm a feeler, not a reader. Well, perhaps it would do some good to read. Read. Read what? Read the Bible. I speak with people all the time that tell me, oh, I don't believe in those fantasies. Well, have you ever read them? No. Wouldn't you have a better ability to make a more, I guess, intellectual judgment on something? Wouldn't you want to know what you're discriminating? Read it. My hunch tells me they don't want to read it because the minute they read it, it's going to transform their lives. I tell my sons, read it. Read the scriptures. Don't be deceived by what the narrative the world is giving. Read it for yourself. Read the Bible. And then it tells us he was a righteous man, but he was also devoted. This Simeon guy, man, he wasn't just playing church. It was his lifestyle. I think of my life, you know, there was a point in my life, I didn't care if my parents went to church or not. I found a way to get to church. And then once I was at church, I didn't want to leave church. They had to kick me out. Many people adopted me at church. They loved me. They cared for me. I'd get all kinds of invitations. Well, this guy was devoted. He was righteous and devoted. But here's the third element. What's that? Well, he was waiting. He was waiting for what? The consolation of Israel. What does that have to do with all of this? Well, the consolation of Israel has to do with God's restoration of the people and the fulfillment of his redemptive work. The fulfillment of his redemptive work. Where? On humankind. This is all part of a plan. And so, to understand that plan, I would encourage you, take some time, read through Isaiah chapter 40 through 66, and you're going to get a good grasp of what this God's redemptive plan on humankind have to do with us. Has to do with everything. And this light that was promised, this was the hope that they were. Now, the Jewish people of this time, they were waiting a little bit more like a Alexander the Great type personality. Right? They were waiting for this conqueror who's going to come and just destroy the Roman Empire and then run them out and establish Israel as the kingdom of God here on earth. They were going to have the political power and they were going to return to the former glory of the days of David and Solomon when the kingdom was established and the riches and the peace throughout the land. If you ask me, those people were living in the past. Kind of like many people live in the past today. They live on yesterday's blessing. They were living for yesterday's glorious days when they should have been anticipating something new that was going to happen. What was that new thing? The birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Redeemer. Him who was going to reconcile humankind unto God. See, they were waiting for this political uprise and this war, this spirit of militancy that the Maccabees and the Qumran communities all migrated out to the desert because they wanted to find this piety away from all the heathens. That wasn't what God was looking. That wasn't never what God was into. There was something more radical here that God wanted to call his people unto. Let us read and find out. And what was that third thing that we see? Well, the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is a very, I might not have a job tomorrow, so please forgive me. But I have to say this because it's there in the text. And not only is it there in the text, three times. Notice, the author here did not tell us who Simeon was, what was his vocation, what was his age, what was his background, was he married, was he not? All of that is left to speculation. But what is here, very clear here, was that he was a righteous and a devoted individual who was patiently waiting for God's redemptive work to be fulfilled in the coming Messiah. And then the Spirit of God was upon him. This was pre-Pentecost, folks. This is pre-Pentecost. Three times here, listen. Three times here, let's read the text together. So three times here at the end of verse 25, we read that the Spirit of God, right, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. And then again, we read it now in verse 27, and the Spirit, and in the Spirit, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. Boy, what a crazy notion. Come a church in the Spirit. Wow. Let's worship in the Spirit. Wow. And Simeon here was filled with the Spirit. It was revealed to him by the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. Now, I'm going to, again, offer you a waiver here. This is not prescriptive. It's descriptive. This is a very powerful thing here that Luke is communicating to us. Why? Why? Because, look, if you go down to chapter 1, verse 15, you read that John also, in the Spirit, was on John the Baptist. In chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit was on Mary. In chapter 1, verse 41, you read that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 1, verse 67, you read that Zechariah, filled with the Spirit, prophesied. Wow. This was all pre-Pentecost, folks. The Spirit of God was at work. It was his prerogative. And friends, I would humbly submit that the Spirit of God is still at work here in the 21st century. He's still filling people. He's still revealing to people. Obviously, not adding to the book, but giving discernment and knowledge to folks in the church. And he's still guiding and leading his church. This is powerful. Then we read verses 27 through 28, how Simeon meets the parents, being led by the Spirit. So all of this is coordinated by God. There's no coincidence here. Just like today, you're not here by coincidence. You're here because God preordained it to be for you to be here. You are here.
Well, I forced myself, actually, Pastor.
Yeah, you might have thought you forced yourself, but really God had just laid it all out. And so, something I just want you to kind of nudge you on, and then you can kind of process later on. Verses 23 and 24 really press on us the importance as prescribed in the law. So this is very important because, again, many people are afraid to talk about the Spirit. Yeah, I have a very deep, heavy, charismatic background. Where our definition of being filled with the Spirit was more experiential, emotional, jumping, moving, losing control. That's not what I'm talking about here. It's very clear that the Word of God must be followed. Look what Mary herself said in verse 38 of chapter 1. How does she close? She said, "May it be so, let it be to me according to your word." In John chapter 16, Jesus said that when the teacher, when the counselor, when the our guide would come, he would lead us unto what? Unto all truth. What truth? The truth of God's word. The teachings that Jesus had taught us. He will not speak on his own accord. He would guide us and teach us and reveal and illuminate to us the word of God. And so we see now in verses 29 and 30 through 32nd, we see this nunc dimittis, Simeon's praise. And let's read that again. It says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant," doulos in the Greek, "for slave." Righteous people and devoted people to God have no problem calling themselves slaves.
And if that hurts you, I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with being considered a slave for Christ. It's a privilege. It's an honor for those of us who have been called to serve and be bondservants of you, our congregation, the beautiful bride of Christ. And now this Simeon, this spirit-filled man, is saying, listen, Lord, thank you for letting your servant now depart in peace. Many people interpret that as he's about to die. We don't know. It's pure speculation because we're not given his age. But what this person is saying, Simeon, he's saying, oh, wow, now I'm experiencing my freedom. Thank you. And then he adds this. Now I can depart in peace. I said this to the earlier service because there's a lot more gray hair there. It's a little bit less gray hair here, but this applies. None of us know when we're going to depart this world. None of us. I just read a few days ago, this young 26, 28-year-old reporter died who contributed to Fox News. Young. None of us know when we're going to depart this world. I will humbly submit to you. My prayer is that when your time comes to depart this world, you would depart in peace. Because this is the ultimate goal of God's redemptive work through Jesus Christ, is to give us peace. Peace from what? Peace of mind. Certainty knowing that my life is hid in God's hands. Doesn't matter what I live, what I experience, what the stock market is doing. Doesn't matter what happens to me. What matters is that I, like a baby, am in the Father's arms. And I have shalom. And I have peace. And that's what Simeon is saying. I can now depart in peace. Hallelujah. And so he continues this doxology. He continues this song of praise. And then so now he's saying, okay, now I could be dismissed in verse 29. And I could leave in peace. But he also noticed at the end of verse 29, he says, that this would be done according to your word. That's a very important phrase. Not only for those believers of this time, but for us in the 21st century. May it be so according to your word. This is radical stuff, friends. Why? Because most of us are trying to fix our lives. Most of us are trying to find a better way. Most of us are finding that positive energy or force we're trying to look for. This isn't about that. This is about allowing God's will to be fulfilled in our lives. May it be so according to your word. And so, we see this light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. Two things there as we're kind of landing the plane and getting ready to close. Two things here. Light in the Hellenist world, or better yet, the Greek culture, the Greek influence of that time, they interpreted salvation as a light. And that light was true knowledge of the divinity. That's how the Greeks, that's how they associated salvation. But for Israel, when the author wrote there, the glory to your people, Israel, you have to go down to Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 to understand that terminology. And what you find there in Exodus is that the glory of your people Israel had to do with God's Shekinah presence. See, Moses entered the temple, the tent of meeting. And what would happen at the tent of meeting? Well, when Moses would enter, this cloud of light, this cloud of light descended on the temple. And you know what the people knew? God was there. 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 You know, I've even said this in our denomination. Perhaps we need a little bit less theology and more neology. More neology. Meet with God one-on-one. Experience the presence of God in my worship, in my life, in my marriage, with my children, in my business, in my conduct, in my thoughts. Boy, this takes a radical implication. Why? Oh boy, I wish I had 20 more minutes, but I don't, and I have to land the plane seriously. So I'm going to conclude with this. Because people, even the Jews, didn't get it during that time. Go with me very quickly to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jump down to verse 4. In Him was life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know what the powerful statement of the light of God shining forth means? Hey, light doesn't need light. But a dark, broken, desperate, troubled, depressed world needs the light of hope that Jesus Christ can provide. Our society needs hope. It's not going to come in world peace, people. It's going to come through the gospel of light. That light that gives life. And if you read later on in the text that we're observing, he talks about the foreshadowing of the rejection of Jesus in verses 34 and 35. And stay with me in John, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, for whosoever, John 3:16, the whosoever's received him, he gave the right to become children of God. My friends, I conclude with this. Today, come and see the light. Come and see the light. Stop playing church. Stop playing church. Stop playing religion. Stop living off of mom and dad's religion or grandma and grandpa's religion. Make it your own. Grasp it. Come and see. I'm inviting you. Come and see. But then, come and believe. Come and experience and believe the word of God transforming you from the head up, from the head down. Believe and come and receive. What are you going to receive? Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life in abundance. Stop living in hunger. Stop living in want. Come and receive in abundance the life-giving light that Jesus gives. And then come and give to others what you have received. You know what? Whatever your background is, whatever your limitations are, if you have breath of life and you can speak, share and give the good news of Jesus. My two prayers for New Hope Church is that not only are we a church of the Word of God, okay? I believe it with all my heart. We should be people of the Word. But added to that, we should be people of the Spirit. Being led of the Spirit of God, being guided by the Spirit of God, being filled by the Spirit of God, because it's not in our strength or in our power or in our knowledge, but it is through the power of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead, living in us, transforming lives, calling men, convicting men of their sin. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of shouting going on this morning. I hope something came through. And if it didn't make sense, please forgive me. But Father, if it did,
Would you help people come and surrender their lives to you? Would you allow them to come and see, come and believe, come and receive, but also come and give and share the glorious story, the glorious Christmas story of Christ our Savior, who came to redeem and reconcile that which was lost for all peoples. And we say, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed new year.